Hey, just a quick note that this episode was recorded before the social distancing measures really took effect. So that's why you're going to hear us all gathered together. But please, everyone, heed the official warnings and stay safe. Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
What do you get when you match a music obsessive with an understanding partner?
A perfect marriage. Patrick, we are at Mike Snyder's house, and we have stated before how much we love it here.
Yeah, it's incredibly feels like home.
Too. I know.
Yeah.
Love it so much, and I'm saddened to hear that maybe they're not long for this place. We don't need to get into all that
right now. We're squatters' rights in Virginia. Yeah. If I decide to take over, that's a different story.
I think we have to stay now. I think that's the message. We have to stay here.
They've been here for 60 days by law.
That's right.
You can't evict them.
Just try getting us out. That's right. So we're here. We got the big screen. We got hockey. We were surrounded by media, which is a wonderful thing. And then, of course, we get to hang out with Mike and Julie.
That's amazing. Yeah, so, totally amazing.
Thanks for having us over.
Well, you're welcome. Now, I was going to surprise you with Julie, but that's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was going to surprise the listener with Julie, but that's okay. And I'm going to explain to you why Julie Snyder's sitting with us instead of upstairs going, why is he down there talking about music for 2 hours?
Yes. With those jerks.
So let me just quickly set that up. This show is called Rockin' the Suburbs. We are in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. We're in Northern Virginia. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We are at the home of Mike Snyder and Julie Snyder, as I mentioned. Mike is a patron of the show, which means not only is he just a great guy, but also he gets to pick the topic for a show once every 3 months. And what is the topic today, Mike?
Well, I'm not going to give an exact answer because I'm going to tell you how I arrived at this. And it's great to have you guys. It's always fun.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
And
thanks for the beer.
Yes, you're welcome. Good stuff we've got tonight. So, you know, you guys, you said, well, it might be time for you to do an episode. I'm like, I'm thinking about what? I kind of racked my brain on all the good ideas up till now. I'm like, what can I do? And I thought about debating the attributes of Kansas's albums, Left Overture versus Point of No Return.
You can save that for another time.
Yeah, sure.
Or whether we should celebrate the return of the Strokes.
Good topic.
All right. Yeah.
Well, you guys, actually, I thought these weren't very good. I thought they were only good for me. So, good. Awesome. Idea. Well, we're going to save this.
I like both of those.
But then I remember talking with one of you. I think it might have been Jim, but it could have been you, Patrick. We were at the Who Live podcast, and we were talking about how you guys are getting female voices on the show.
Mm-hmm. We're trying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know a woman who lives. I know a woman who lives right here. You know, with me. And I thought it'd be fun to discuss our relationship with music. You know, she loves music, but I'm much more of a fanatic. So I'm sure she has a point of view that I kind of try to not worry about too much. And I thought it'd be fun to let her talk about that. Now, hopefully all the electronics will survive the discussion. And Julie said you guys thought that'd be a fun discussion, and Julie agreed. So
yeah,
here we are.
I think it's great. I mean, one thing I'll say that I've learned over the years, this is some wisdom I'll depart upon the listeners who probably already know this. If you are actually a musician, you know, as Patrick is.
Or at least owns a guitar.
Yeah. Then you have some appeal toward the opposite sex. If you're a guy who just listens to a lot of records, not as much, right?
Thankfully, I don't think that's what got us together, but it wasn't a deal breaker.
Yeah, well, so. That actually, like, segues right into where I was going to start.
Well, let me stop you right there. Tell us that story then. How did you guys meet? Because as long as I've known Mike, it's always been Julie and Mike and, you know, the most amazing, fun couple that you've ever known and so hospitable and great. But how did you guys take us back to the beginning? What was the first, the first thing?
Well, of course, we worked together for many years.
Okay.
But we were both in relationships. So
with other people,
with other people,
not like a triad or anything, or no David Crosby.
It wasn't a Crosby thing.
You know, there was a stretch when they wanted me to work in the life section.
Okay,
where Mike was, and I guess we just started noticing each other more and more.
Well, and I look for any, when I was putting together stories for print, I'm looking for any reason to get a reader into the story on the page.
Yeah, this is at a newspaper.
Yeah, this was at USA Today. Yeah, this was at USA Today when the website was just kind of getting going, and it was still probably about 3 million readers daily.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a tech reporter, and I would have stories that could lend itself to graphics.
Well,
and
I'm a graphic artist.
So we forgot to mention.
Okay, great. Yeah. Okay.
So we'd work
beautiful
together.
All right. So fantastic.
And then we were at a golf tournament, just random PGA tournament, and my sister-in-law, who was pregnant at the time and was, I think the hormones were, you know, going crazy, and, you know, I wasn't seeing anybody, and I was, you know, depressed. And then I saw Mike with a group of guys, and I said, you know, I work with him, and he seems, you know, kind of nice. And she, like, slams me in the back, and she's like, go flirt with him. So I went up to him, and I said, would you like...
Everybody can have a sister-in-law like
that. You know, hey, would you like to walk around together? And he's like, no, I'm here with the guys, and I really can't. So, you know, thanks for asking.
We just got to our favorite spot on the par five where you can see the tee shot and the approach shot, so we couldn't leave.
So I turn around, and I go back to my sister-in-law, and she's like, go back. And so I said, well, if you guys are going to stay here, maybe, you know, I could hang with you. No, we really, you know, this is kind of a guy's thing, and we're all set. And so I went back to her. I said, you know what? I'm out of game here. I don't know where else to go with this. So that ended that. And then the next day at work, I got an email from him, and he said, hey, it was fun, you know, seeing you at the golf tournament. And I was like, yeah. And it was lots of fun.
For me.
And he said, well, we're getting a bunch of people together tonight, or, you know, the next night, and we need girls. So I'm like, great.
I don't think I put it exactly like that.
That's exactly how he put it. And so I decided, I thought, you know,
this may not have been a good idea.
What would my sister-in-law say, you know? And so I thought about this a lot. So on the night that we were to meet up,
there was a party at some of my buddy's place up on the hill, Capitol Hill, in Washington, D.C.
So I showed up alone. And, of course, the door opens. I come in, and he's looking behind me. Where are the girls, you know? He says, it's just me, you know? And so we got to talking, and we went to his friend's house where there was a birthday party, and everybody was dancing, and somebody asked me to dance, so I started dancing with them, and I could tell even by that, you know, that he was kind of bothered by that. Uh-huh. You know, you could just kind of sense it. So it was getting kind of late, and he said, "Well, I'll walk you to your car," you know, and so obviously you have that first kiss, and you get all excited, and then it's like, okay, well, I got to go back to my guys, and so I'll see you at work. And I thought, oh, you know, that's probably it. And then he called me the next day. He said, I'm at a music festival, and I just almost got struck by lightning. And so I'm thinking, okay, he's thinking of me.
This is the Tibetan fest.
Oh, really?
REM and everybody.
Yeah.
He's about to die, you know, and so he thinks of me. That must mean something, you know. And
that's pretty intense.
Yeah. And he said, so I was thinking maybe we could get together tonight. And I'm like, no, I've got plans, and I'd love to get together another time, you know. And then after that, it just sort of...
So just a quick insert here.
Yeah.
I'm not usually that weird, but I was going to take the summer off dating. I was not going to date anybody. And the reason I asked, bring some girls with you, it was for my buddies to have people to talk to.
Totally.
So anyway, that's all I want to say about that. But yes, and then we didn't go out with anybody else after that.
Well, that's amazing. And also, it sounds like music was kind of central to the whole thing, right?
Well,
Julia's dancing and you were at a music festival. Yes. So that's kind of cool.
Yes. Music did. It did definitely play
so
a
what,
part.
So what was that festival again?
It was the Tibetan. There was that two-day Tibetan festival.
I was there
that got,
at RFK.
The first, second day got canceled because of the lightning, right?
Someone was killed by a lightning strike, so unfortunately, at RFK Stadium.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
everybody
I was there working for the
REM
Post.
And Radiohead, I think, was even.
BC Boys were there.
BC Boys were there. I mean, it was a big thing.
It really was. It was organized by Adam from the Beastie Boys, right? Because he was really into that Tibetan, you know, at that time, that kind of Eastern religion and stuff like that.
Right.
So,
yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Body moving, A1 sound, and the sound so soothing. Body moving, we be getting down, and you know we're pushing moving. Body moving, A1 sound, and the sound so soothing. Body moving, we be getting down, and then no more crushing down.
Let me get some action from the back section. We anybody rocking, not perfection. Let your back bone flip, but don't slip with this. And let your spine unwind, just take a risk. I wanna do the picket to the break of dawn. Tell me, party people, is that so wrong? The ship is docking, interlocking, and up rocking, electroshocking. We are getting down, computer action to the robotic satisfaction. All of y'all getting off the wall.
So how long after you guys met did you get married?
We got married in 2000.
So about a year and a half after this?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Wow.
Cool.
Mazel tov.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. The only thing I was going to say is I always either dated a musician or someone who was extremely into music. So
interesting.
She's seen a lot of bands that I haven't seen.
Oh, really?
My first concert was, or one of my first, was Queen and Thin Lizzy.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, at that point in your life, Mike, were you, you know, actively going to shows like every week or,
probably multiple a week. I mean, so I started working as a teenager just to make money to go to shows and buy records.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know, I mean, you guys, I mean, this is not a new story to people that listen to this podcast. Yep. Most of them probably did the same thing. And so she's a really good fit for my music taste, but, you know, there's a lot of things I don't even ask her to go to and I wouldn't put her through, you know, like going to see the Strokes, standing up for 3 hours and seeing music like that. I wouldn't. She saw Willie Nelson once, doesn't ever want to see him again.
Now, that's not really true. It's just because he talked his whole song, all his songs where he talked them instead of sang them.
That's how he performs them now.
I needed to know that ahead of time, that it was going to be talking instead of singing, you know, on the road again.
Yeah.
And the thing was, I know it wasn't me because Phil said, why is he talking his songs instead of singing? So it was not just me.
Anyway, well, he was about 80 at that point. So that's kind of how he sings now. So we travel this whole part of the country for music. You know, we've gone to Philadelphia for many shows, including REM and the Rolling Stones, Jeff Lynne, ELO, Steve Winwood, and Tom Petty. Julie has met Billy Gibbons and spent an hour or so with him after show.
It's amazing.
She's met Pat Benatar a couple years ago after we had the South by Southwest thing.
Very nice lady.
Lovely lady.
But what I was going to get at is usually I dictate the music situation. You know, she very seldom says, I want to buy tickets to this or that.
Right.
But we've seen Roger Waters twice. We saw the Genesis and Police reunions. So we do have a lot of classic rock. She likes Sunvolt, which was good for me because I don't think I'd take her to see. She doesn't really like Wilco that much, for instance. She's seen Wilco once, but I've seen him like, you know, 7 or 8 times.
Yep.
Or
Fish.
I didn't take her to see Fish. No, I wouldn't do that. So.
I did take my wife to see Fish, and it didn't work out that well. Not that good. Someone spilled a beer on her.
I had a beer spilled on me at Wilco.
Oh, did you?
At the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
That was
That's what happened to Sheila at the beginning of the show.
Someone
was like spinning. They were dancing and spinning and smashed a beer, and it was not a good start.
That was bound to happen. All right, let me ask you guys some questions. As someone who has a long-suffering wife, I'll ask these questions.
I figured you guys would relate to this.
So,
totally.
When you got married or leading up to the impending nuptials or whatever, was there ever a point where you were like, you spend how much money on CDs? Did that ever come up?
Multiple times.
Came up in my house.
I did not know the extent until I had to redecorate the basement to accommodate 5,000 CDs.
There's more than 5,000 CDs in here. You just don't know where they all are.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Julie's decorating.
Yeah, they're hidden. A lot of them are hidden.
Because I remember when Katie and I got married in 94. Mm-hmm. 94. That was when CDs cost like $15 to $20 a CD, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This was not when vinyl was much of a thing at that point, right? So I was buying a lot of CDs. And when she sort of like started to crunch the numbers, thinking like, I'm going to be a partner with this guy, and this is how much money's going out
he's an addict.
Right.
Yeah.
She started to question me on it. And this was my response. I said, I will never buy a boat. and I will never get into golf, any of those expensive things that most men do, but I'm going to buy a lot of CDs. That was it. And she was like, okay, fine.
All right. That's as bad as it's going to get.
I'm not sure Julie ever said, okay, fine. But what I do is I would buy them like when they're brand new, and then you get them cheaper. The first day they're out, or first couple days they're out.
They're on sale.
You save $2 or $3, right? Or I'd go to CD seller and get a trade-ins from journalists.
Hell yeah.
Who aren't supposed to do that, by the way.
Well.
But they do it. And you get it for like $7 or $8 or $9. So that's what I would do.
Then you would get some promos and things like that.
And then at work, eventually, I'd get promos between other colleagues and stuff.
So. The bigger deal with me was I had a very limited small record collection that before we got married, he said, let me see what you have, and proceeded to say, we don't need any of these except the Beatles. So Loverboy, Styx, REO Speedwagon, pretty much my whole collection was gone. And I have hidden, I think I have 10 CDs, and I'm not sure where they are because I hid them from myself.
So there's a reason why we did this. We didn't have a turntable
until
about a year ago.
Okay.
So there's no reason to have albums unless they're of historical value. Right.
Why did you get to keep all yours?
I only kept 10. I mean, I only have about 10 albums upstairs.
And then 5,000 over there. Well,
I figure, hey, I can always go buy the Styx album on CD.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and now you can stream it. You don't.
Right.
So I thought it was pretty prophetic.
Well, I'll tell you this, Julie. When Sheila and I got married, she had about 10 albums as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, you've got Led Zeppelin. You've got Carole King. Let's see, what else did she have? That's it. And so I just sort of consumed them. I was like, I'll take care of these for you.
You're like the Borg.
Yeah. It's like if you're watching a place where they have like collectible baseball cards or something, and you have like something that's halfway decent, they'll like immediately pull out a plastic sleeve and put it in there and like file it. I was like, I'll take care of them. Boom. Gone. Never saw them again. He's like,
she needs them.
That's right.
I'm like, don't worry about it. It's fine.
But
they're in good hands now.
Same thing. Katie's are all mixed up into mine, too, but I'm sure she would never be able to find them because, of course, you know, out of my hundreds or whatever of records.
Yeah, it's all a blur now.
That's right.
Let's move on.
They're somewhere.
It all makes sense to me. It's so tough to even find it. They just don't even decide.
Yeah, I've got it under control.
But, you know, if you have Spotify now, it doesn't matter.
I know. It doesn't matter. Do you want to listen to this? Here, take this. Move along.
We're talking about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So. Well, I know, but
20 years is a long time.
All right, here's my next question for the happy couple. So since you've been with Mike, what artists has he turned you on to that have become maybe some of your favorites?
Good question.
Well, he mentioned Sunvolt.
Yeah.
And
fabulous, man.
It's a good one.
And Whiskey Town.
Oh,
and,
there you go.
He introduced me to a lot, even if I didn't like it necessarily, like I wouldn't go and see them. He exposed me to so many more genres that I just would not have listened to.
Yeah.
And I think my appreciation just grew.
Now and then it keeps you running. Never seems to die. Trail spent with fear, not enough. Living on the outside. Never seem to get far enough. Staying in between the lines. Hold on to what you can. Waiting for the end. Not knowing when. May the wind take your troubles away. May the wind take your troubles away. Both feet on the floor, two hands on the wheel. May the wind take your troubles away.
That's well said, Julie. I mean, I think that's a big part of it, too. At least, you know, for Sheila and I, one of the things was like, well, I don't like this. I don't like that. But I think because I may have played her this or that, or we had gone to see that mm-hmm. band, mm-hmm. then another band was like, oh, wait a minute. I like this a little better because it's not mm-hmm. as extreme in the one sense of that band, or it's not as too much of this, but it blends the two things I liked about that earlier mm-hmm. band. So mm-hmm. that's really well said. Yeah, I think that exposure can really make a big difference.
And the other thing that we did, or he started doing, was we started watching documentaries about bands.
And artists, not just bands.
Yeah. Mike has watched so many films.
I started watching them on my own, like Eric Clapton. Yeah. I mean, you know, I just got sucked into these. Once I knew the backstories to these musicians, it just brought a whole new exposure and enlightenment. And I just appreciated him a lot more. And a lot of the other bands.
You appreciate Clapton a lot more, not me.
Clapton.
Okay, just want to make sure.
I've always appreciated you. I just really enjoyed that.
I think that's such a cool point. And I'll say this, Jim and Mike and Julie, that as you get older, I think Townsend wrote this, my ears have heard a whole lot of music, like too much of anything. Mm-hmm. Like the more you hear, it's important, I think, to appreciate different forms, like mm-hmm. appreciate to watch a little more, read a little more. Like sometimes you don't need to have the music blasting in your headphones, mm-hmm. you know, at volume 10 to kind of understand it, or visually maybe you're stimulated more than you are, you know, by your ear. So I think mm-hmm. that's a great point. There's so much about music and so much available now that there's a lot of ways to get into it. Yeah.
I don't want this just to be a mansplaining exercise though either. So how has Julie changed your views of music, Mike?
Well, I've tried to be more accepting of other music. She's not a big Taylor Swift fan, but so I have like playlists on my phone, and I'll put together a running playlist, and I'll add songs that I maybe myself wouldn't want to hear on my own, but I'll add it because I think she might like it. And then mm-hmm. we have this veto rule in the car.
Okay.
And if one of us hates the song, we can call the veto. Unlimited vetoes.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Also. Mm-hmm. So I know if she doesn't really want to hear it, she can veto it too. So I put some Taylor Swift on. This one actually was not much of a stretch for me because there was a Justin Timberlake song with Chris Stapleton, which actually I kind of like. Cool.
I know that song.
Trying to think. I mean, it doesn't really go anywhere, but it still sounds cool.
Yeah.
I mean, anything that has Chris Stapleton's voice in it.
It's pretty good.
Sounds pretty cool. You were going to say something.
Well, I was going to say that at the very beginning of our relationship, you made mixtapes for me.
Yeah, I mean,
and all I would have to do is he would hear two notes of a song that he hated, but I loved it. And so it was veto. I couldn't listen to it, but he would store it away in his mind and he would make a mixtape for me.
Oh, that's nice.
And she used to drive a lot by herself. She would drive to work. We had different hours, so she'd drive on her own.
Right.
So.
And I would play those tapes to death.
Oh, nice.
I mean, seriously, I'm the type of listener that if I like a song, I will play it 10 times in a row.
Just wear it out.
Yeah. I just wear it out. Yeah. So I got to listen to all of my favorites all the time, which I thought was amazing.
Is there an example of that? Is there anything you remember?
Well, he made an engagement tape when we had on our engagement party, what you put on it. But you put a mix of both
songs that we both would like, yeah.
Right, right. And it was a Mexican theme party. And I think, didn't you have Los Lobos?
Yeah, Los Lobos and Los Lonely Boys and everybody else that's Los.
Yeah, all the Loses. And
I don't remember any specific songs because it's probably one of the songs I would make the tape and blank it out of my head because I'm like, I did my duty. But she has what I do now. She hasn't driven for a while because, I mean, friends of the podcast will know she's had a couple back surgeries. She just started driving a couple weeks ago.
So glad about that.
I would make SD cards with like two Springsteen albums and then two Adele albums because she likes Adele.
Okay.
And then she doesn't, if she doesn't want to listen to the radio, she can just listen to that. And if she doesn't like the song, just give you X, you know, hit and go forward. Back to Jim's question, since she isn't proactive on getting tickets for things, I think the only thing she ever said, I want to go see, is Riverdance. So we went to Riverdance at Wolf Trap.
Oh my gosh.
We're not going to talk about Riverdance, though. This will take
for
this'll
you.
Go forever.
Sorry.
But I did get tickets to take her to Ed Sheeran. I took her to Ed Sheeran at the Cap Center or whatever we call it now. I forget what it's called. Yep. Capital One Center.
Phone booth.
And just to give you an example of how we work together now, I also bought her tickets to see Neil Diamond for like Valentine's Day.
Oh, wow.
But that night, Kansas was playing Mizzou. Back then, it was still the big, they were in the Big 12.
Yep.
And she wanted to watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
I go, I'm ready to go to Neil Diamond, you know.
And to be honest, I had seen it because a previous boyfriend had bought me Neil Diamond
tickets.
So I'd seen him.
So we went down to the venue, sold the tickets, and went and watched the game.
That's cool.
So I try, but yeah. I mean, it's... I obviously have the wider palette of the two.
Well, the biggest was the Bruce on Broadway.
Yeah,
my birthday.
That's amazing.
Well, it was a birthday and anniversary.
That's great.
It was absolutely just incredible.
One more thing about her openness, I will say... She would probably not listen to music like that made by Radke if she didn't know the musicians in Radke their father and initially their
right.
Uncle.
So for the listeners, you're friends of this band Radke, and they're becoming a big deal.
Yeah, and
right?
They're coming. Yeah, and they stay here. So Julia's like a house mom.
Yeah.
When they're here,
you guys are like just one of the reasons that they're able to continue to further their independent career. Well, they have a station, like a place where, I mean, you think Jim and I like it. They like it just as us. They recharge their batteries, right? And they relax, and they're able to play a show at the Black Cat.
We consider ourselves, I mean, patrons of theirs.
Exactly.
You know,
you guys do a lot for them. Yeah, it's
they're
amazing.
Such great guys, too.
They are. They
really are.
Well, and when we started doing it, I mean, years ago, I mean, to me, they were kids.
Yeah, I mean, at that time, I think Saul was maybe 15.
Yeah.
You know.
Maybe 16.
And I really did feel very protective of them.
She cooks them breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
That's so
and
cool.
Depending on the, and then we'll put out food for lunch and all that stuff. And she wants to make sure everybody has their beverages of choice and their beds are the way they want them and all that stuff.
That's nice, man. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
And she goes and listens. And it's loud, but
it's loud.
We've been there. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're going to be opening at this Foo Fighters Festival July 4th.
Exactly.
At FedEx Field, right?
It's going to be. Yeah. I knew that was happening before it happened because they keep me in the loop, but I had to be quiet about it.
You gave me a little tip off before it went off.
I think I did like a day or two. I didn't figure you. I figured you were a pretty solid source. But they get to be, I mean, they'll have Band of Horses there. They'll have Pharrell. And obviously the Foo Fighters. There's a band
Your guy Chris Stapleton.
And there's a band, I can't remember the name, but somebody mentions on the show all the time.
Yeah, Wingtip Float. They'll be playing there.
No. I would remember that.
No, they're not there.
I'll have to look it up. I can't remember. But the Go-Go's are playing.
Yes, the Go-Go's too, yes.
Really?
Somebody Belly. Ooh. Belly Boy or?
No, Bunny.
Bunny.
Oh.
I wish Belly was playing, but I don't think they play anymore.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
I wanna send.
guys, do you remember the first concert you saw together?
I don't remember, but the first big one I think we saw together was McCartney.
Okay, the first memorable one.
I think that was close to the first, because that was really a huge concert. But I think that we had probably been to, like, Merriweather or for some smaller things.
Well, we might have seen Tom. We saw Tom Petty many times at
and REM.
Chiffy Lube or wherever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, REM at Merriweather and REM elsewhere. So
right.
I'm going to say it probably was either REM or Tom Petty.
Yeah, we saw Tom Petty several times, so... As long as she approved of Tom Petty, it was okay.
Yeah. Well, that's... yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to have that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you do have to have those staple artists.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Beach Bunny.
I'm sorry.
That's who it is. Oh, also Duran Jones and the Indication.
That's the band. That's going to be great. Talks about them
excellent.
A lot. So they recommended us seeing them. And I think...
Well, it's going to be an all-day affair.
The Regrets. Ooh, also.
Yeah. Nice. That's going to be an all-day affair.
It's a good lineup. Yeah. It's cool. All right. Anyway. So what bugs you about Mike? Let's get right down to it here.
Musically.
Yeah.
Well. Oh, I thought it was anything.
The rest of it could be for the bonus for the Patreon.
Yeah, we don't have that much time.
Exactly. We don't have enough beer in the house.
We have whiskey, only, though. I would say, this past Saturday morning, I was trying to sleep in, and Miles Davis was on level 50. And all of a sudden, my head's banging, and I'm thinking, why is my head hurting so much? I'm like, what is that noise?
Yeah.
And so I didn't come right out and say anything, but I slammed the bedroom door.
Needless to say, I did not hear that.
Although, that's funny. That happens in my house, too, because I get up. I'm the only one who gets up on the weekends. And then maybe, I'll play some music on the stereo, and then others in the house are like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Why is this happening?
Well, it's 11:30.
But it depends on what it is. But I will tell you once, I think one day I was playing like an Alice Cooper record.
Oh, no. I forgot that everybody was asleep.
See, Julie, you have a pretty damn good.
Yeah. It was like...
It could have been Ozzy or...
What is happening in this house?
Yeah. There's no singing in this music.
Yeah. Well, I can relate to that, Jim, because sometimes you wake up and no one else is awake and you kind of forget what time it is. You're like, well, I've been awake for several hours. It must be 1 or 3 p.m. So yeah, I'm going to put on this Stooges album or something like that just to hear
See,
it.
See, there's another example. Yeah, I'm pretty good.
Yeah. The Stooges, yeah.
But it was a live album, I'll say. It was louder than I expected. I actually hadn't listened to this album, but you know that thing that's going around where put your 10 albums up every day? And one of my friends, I had challenged to do that, and he put on this live Miles Davis album. I'm like, oh, this would be fine to listen to while I work in the kitchen a little bit.
Right.
And it was pretty...
One of the electric...
It was pretty loud.
Yeah. He can get loud. Yeah.
But now, that rarely...
Usually I come down here.
That rarely happens. That's why we have two floors between us. Yeah. You know, so.
For now, anyway.
Now, I will say this. You guys are amazing.
For sure.
You really are. You're two of my favorite people in the whole world. And it's amazing to have these two friends into our Rock in the Suburbs life. Am I right, Jim?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, really 100%.
I feel spoiled every time I see the Snyders.
Hard eyes emoji.
Yeah, over totally. Here,
well,
man.
We appreciate that. And I thought
thank
that,
you.
And I thought that's why you guys might actually like this topic when I brought it up, because it would get Julie involved.
Well, that's why it's been a 60-minute podcast.
I know. It has been long, but that's okay. Now, what would be really fun next time, maybe, we should also get Katie on.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Because I think Katie would really open up.
Yes. Yes.
With somebody else to converse with who's not me.
Totally. Yeah,
they would start comparing notes. We'd be in big trouble then.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got to wrap this up.
For sure. This is like...
I could keep on going. Well, there are just so many stories.
Well, you know, your patron level is only so much. That's right.
No, just kidding. Julie, you have to do your own patron episode.
We're cutting into Julie's territory. No, I'm just kidding.
We'll see you in 3 months, Julie.
Patreon.com/suburbspod. We'll continue this.
This has been delightful.
Oh, it's been amazing.
What a great time.
I'm never leaving.
That's right. No.
Which is what I say every time. I know. I don't even look up every episode we've done here. I say, I'm never leaving. That's right.
It's really
somehow
sad.
Somehow they kicked me out.
It's really sad thinking about leaving this house. It's been a lot of good times.
Oh, man. I hope it doesn't happen.
It has to happen.
Maybe a podcast will squat here.
We'll have a podcast media giveaway.
Oh, that'd be great.
Patron yeah. levels can come pick out free stuff.
It to me, it breaks my heart thinking about leaving this place.
It's an amazing place, and perhaps we can have it designated historic location yes. for the podcast.
Of course.
We've done a lot here early.
Of course.
Yeah.
Northern Virginia sense. Historical District.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. So yeah. we'll talk to Julie again. Mm-hmm. I promise that. All right.
Yes. She's going nowhere.
We know we'll talk to Mike again.
Yeah.
And you'll hear from us again real soon.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Maybe tomorrow.
Yeah. Could be. All right. Thanks very much, Mike, Julie,
thank Snyder.
Thanks, Mike, for having
Julie,
us.
We love you guys.
Thank you
for
very
your hospitality
much.
And your friendship and everything.
Great conversation. Really fun.
I had a great time.
All right.
Thank you.
I think that's it. Go to patreon.com/suburbspod if you want to be on the show.
Yeah.
Although I think we're sold out at that level. You got to get in on the record buying level to get
now,
the
that's a cool level too. I mean, we will send you records, and you can do all kinds of stuff.
Honestly, let me tell you this, Patrick. That's really your best buy.
I think
that's
so.
That's your value level because
for my money,
you're going to get on the show just like all the people at that level.
That's right.
And you're going to get records that basically are about the value of that additional
totally
spend, right? So it really works out great.
And we love going to the record
we
store
do.
To buy the weirdest records we can find.
Absolutely.
Sending it to you.
Absolutely.
Like, this looks weird.
And
Scott
love
Parks
it too.
Will love it. Yeah.
You know, you join for a penny, you get 10 records.
That's
that
right.
how it works.
Yeah. You tape a penny to that card.
And then you owe us $100 every month for the rest
right.
of your life.
And then you eventually hire a lawyer to get us
yes,
off your
that's
back.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm Mike Snyder.
I'm Julie Snyder.
All right,
thank
thanks,
you guys.
And we'll talk to everyone later.
I could have given you some records, but they're gone.
Well, we'll save that for another time.